Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Following the school shooting that killed 17 people in Parkland, Florida last month, many turned their focus to mental health. But here's a problem with our mental health care system right now. There's a shortage of psychiatrists. Joining us now is Dr. Daryl Kirch, who's president and CEO of the Association of American Medical Colleges. He's also a psychiatrist and a neuroscientist. Dr. Kirch, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeremy.
And what are some of the big causes of this psychiatrist shortage in America? Are there fewer people going into the field? Is the demand growing? Is it a combination?
Actually, there have been, in recent years, more people going into the field. And in recent years, every available training position in psychiatry has been filled. The thing that's really driving the shortage is the baby boom. Every day we have 10,000 baby boomers turning 65, and they have the highest health care needs, and that includes mental disorders.
So what do you do about that? If it's not that you can't get enough people to go into the field, what you need is even more people to go into the field.
That's correct. And actually, there are two steps to this. One is to expand medical schools so that we have more candidates in the first place. And U.S. medical schools have done that. They've actually increased the number of places 30% since the year 2000. So medical schools have done their job, but we have an interesting situation in the United States now. The number of residency training positions, these are funded by the federal government, that number has been capped for 20 years now by legislation. And now that the population is both growing and aging, it's become the bottleneck. We need to create more training positions in psychiatry and other specialties, and the funding for that expansion of residency training isn't been forthcoming.
And is it an expensive endeavor to do that?
Not compared to other items in the federal budget. It actually would be a minor expenditure, considering the fact that it's really the health of the nation that's at stake.
Well, what kind of strains are put on the system, on the nation, because of this shortage of psychiatrists?
Well, the people who are affected first are those who are typically underserved, people who live in more remote rural areas, people in some less advantaged urban areas, people who lack health insurance. So those are the populations hit hardest and first. But in terms of mental health care and availability of psychiatrists, we're seeing it across the board, all areas of the country, all groups.
Now, there's a federal law that calls for mental health to be covered in the same way other chronic conditions are covered. But do people choose not to go into psychiatry because the insurance coverage isn't as adequate?
Insurance exists. You're right. There's a federal law that declared that there should be parity between medical and mental disorders. The problem is that any psychiatric treatment is typically under-reimbursed. The reimbursement is at a very low level compared to things like surgical procedures. And that low reimbursement level has created multiple problems. It makes it harder for systems to recruit and adequately pay psychiatrists. It's led to a massive closure of mental health beds across the United States. So while our mental health needs, anxiety, depression, and then the very severe disorders like schizophrenia and often bipolar disorder, the problems that require hospitalization, things like acute suicidal ideation, we have those patients sitting in emergency rooms because there simply isn't a hospital bed available for them.
Hmm. And acute suicidal ideation is what?
Somebody who is at high risk to commit suicide. And often, typically, it's somebody who's depressed, but sometimes it can come about for other reasons and in relation to problems like substance abuse. But the fact is, it's a real danger. It's a potentially lethal disease.
Psychiatric treatment also requires a lot of time. There's often a lot of trial and error when it comes to prescribing psychiatric drugs. Is that part of this issue?
It definitely is. When I teach medical students about psychiatry, I point out to them that, unfortunately, science hasn't gotten to the point where we have brain imaging or blood test to identify whether somebody has an anxiety disorder or a mood disorder like depression or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. The psychiatrist needs time to make the diagnosis by listening to the patient's story, their symptoms, and their history. That doesn't lend itself to a 5 or 10 minute office visit. It requires both time and longitudinal follow-up. And that requires people, person power, and we just don't have enough psychiatrists to fill that need.
Do you think that physicians can pick up some of the slack here, that you could just go to your doctor and get these things prescribed rather than going to somebody who's a specialist in psychiatry?
The fact is that model is probably one of the keys to dealing with this crisis. There now are a number of centers across the United States who are developing what's called a collaborative care model. You would have a primary care clinic and a psychiatrist working with that group of primary care physicians, advising them about what medications to use. And then when they face a very complex or severe psychiatric case, the psychiatrist can step in and manage the patient. Another technique that can help address the problem is the use of telepsychiatry. There are programs now very active in states like Colorado and New Mexico where a psychiatrist sitting at an academic medical center at a teaching hospital in a major city can do outreach to primary care physicians in the most remote areas of the state.
There may be some people who are listening to us talk about this, and they will say, the problem is we're over-medicating people in this country. You say we've got a big baby boomer population that all need psychiatric treatment, but maybe some of them don't, and that's the issue.
There's certainly, in every area of medicine, maybe patients who are prescribed a medication that isn't really indicated. I'm not sure that that's any more prevalent in psychiatry than any other specialty. When you look at the fact that 1 out of 5 adults in the United States experiences a mental disorder during any given year, the most common is anxiety, the second most common depression. 60% of those adults who experience that mental disorder do not get treatment for it. So there's this huge reservoir of untreated mental illness in the country.
Is the stigma that still exists today when it comes to mental health playing a role here in getting people maybe not to go into the field?
I do believe it may play a role. It certainly plays a role for patients. You know, just think about the fact that if one experiences a cancer or has a surgery, you get flowers, you post on your Facebook page about your progress. People with mental disorders tend to struggle in silence, and that because of that stigma. And that's so unfortunate.
If there's somebody in Congress or at the White House who is listening to this, what would your message be to them? What can they do?
The thing that is most directly in their control is pass the legislation that is sitting right now in the House and in the Senate that would expand residency training positions. It isn't just psychiatry. It's primary care, orthopedics, cardiology. There are people who are struggling to get the care they need in this country. And you can't just pull doctors, new doctors, off the shelf. It takes time to train them. And that means we need to free up the residency training position, expand it to meet this growing, aging population. Congress needs to take action now. This is approaching a crisis.
That's Dr. Daryl Kirch, who is president and CEO of the Association of American Medical Colleges. Dr. Kirch, thank you for joining us.
Jeremy, thank you so much. It's an important topic, and I appreciate your time.